Rock historian Ed Ward was a rock and roll veteran early on. By the time many of us were just starting to pay attention to the stuff, Ed was already bored. Then Ed says he chanced upon a scratchy, poorly recorded collection that changed his life.
Music lover has one, a record that seems to be the starting point, the musical document that made them realize that this was something to look into. You keep going back to it over the years and looking at it from a different perspective, finding something new each time. For some people, it's a Beatles record, or a Miles Davis record, or who knows, maybe even an Aerosmith record. For me, it was something really strange.
Gonna build me log cabin on a mountain so high so I can see Willie as he goes on by.
In junior high school, I was a rock and roll veteran. I'd been listening to it since 1957, and now, in 1961, I was tired of how dull it had become. I fell in with a crowd that included a pair of twin brothers from a classic New York left-wing Jewish background, and one day, one of them invited me to go see Pete Seeger at Carnegie Hall. There were others on the bill, including Clarence Ashley, a Carolinian, who had recorded The Cuckoo, a banjo tune, in the 20s, and Ashley had brought along a young man, Arthel Watson, to play guitar. Watson, whose friends called him Doc, was phenomenal, and the ancient-sounding music Ashley and his friends played, as well as the beatnik-looking crowd at the show, appealed to me in a powerful way. Folk music, I thought, that's what I'll get into. So, on my next trip to the public library, I went looking for some records that'd teach me about folk music. I found what I was looking for.
Went up on the hill about 12 o'clock, reached right back and got me a pole. Went to the hard bar, got me a hook.
It was called, simply, Anthology of American Folk Music on Folkways Records, and it was a three-volume, two records per volume, collection of 78s recorded between 1927 and 1932, taken from the collection of a very eccentric Australian named Harry Smith. Clarence Ashley was there, which is why I picked it up, but so were a lot of other people, like ragtime Henry Thomas playing guitar and panpipes, one of the last purveyors of the oldest African-American song style ever to be recorded. There were Cajuns, preachers, blues singers, solo fiddlers, singing cowboys, and fat black ladies with tambourines. It was bewildering, messy, alien, and familiar at once, some of it horribly out of tune, and some of it with more magic than any music ought to have.
Now find me now, nothing like it used to be. No time me now, nothing like it used to be. And I'm telling you all the truth. Oh, take it for me. I done seen better days, but I ain't putting up with thee. I done seen better days, but I'm putting up with thee. I could have a much better time, but these girls now it's so hard to please.
Richard Rabbit Brown's menacing James Alley Blues scared me to death, and still does. And in the liner notes to one of his albums, you can read that it had the same effect on Bob Dylan. Smith divided the anthology into three volumes, ballads, social music, and songs. Ballads told stories, social music was dancing and religious music, and songs were just singing about stuff like lost love or going fishing. For a young teenager like me, ballads were where the deepest mysteries were hiding. Clarence Ashley singing about the house carpenter who was really a fairy and took his wife and child to hell. G.B. Grayson telling of the murder of Omi Wise. And Kelly Harrell singing in the first person of Charles Guiteau, assassin of James Garfield. But the songs and dances were pretty good. And the religious music was filled with surprises like sacred harp singing. All of this was held together by the booklet in each box that summarized the songs in telegraphic style. Albert dies preferring Alice Fry, but Judge finds Frankie charming at Latter's trial, was how he summed up Mississippi John Hurt's Frankie. Smith's Folkways anthology changed the way I heard American music forever. It provided me with hundreds of clues for further astonishing listening, gave me hootenanny material, and confirmed my intuition that eccentricity is deeply ingrained in the American character. Recently, I was talking to somebody from Rounder Records, who with the Smithsonian Institution are administering the Folkways catalog these days, and he said that the anthology will probably not be transferred to CD because ownership of the rights to these tracks is hazy. I can't think of a better reason to hold on to a turntable in that case, because I know I'm not the only person whose life was changed by this collection.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.